when we hear about feast, if those of you that come from a Protestant background, the reaction that we have been raised to have is to remember all the negative things that are said about feast in Scripture. For example, the prophets talk about the Israelites who were engaged in idolatry and fornication and all sorts of evil, but who nevertheless were keeping their feast very religiously, that God despised their feast. But we fail to note that God despised their feast not because of the feast themselves, but because of the fact that there was no correlation between the way they lived their life the rest of the time and the way they were celebrating these feasts. But God ordained these feasts and fasts in Scripture for a reason. And he did so because they have a legitimate and a beneficial purpose in our lives. They're not an end in themselves. Just doing those things doesn't accomplish anything, but they can be a means to an end. They can promote our reverence towards God and our love towards God if we enter into them in the right spirit. When we live out the Orthodox tradition in every aspect of our life, every aspect of our life is touched by the presence of God. There's no division between the sacred and the secular. Everything has the sacred as part of it. The lack of the sense of the sacred is one of the reasons why you have this movement among a lot of Southern Baptists and evangelicals where they're becoming Messianic Jews. I saw this in Oklahoma when I lived there. There's a Messianic Jewish church that there wasn't hardly anyone with a drop of Jewish blood to be had. They were all Okies from Southern Baptist backgrounds, but they were dancing the Hora in their services and doing what they thought was synagogue worship because they came from a tradition that had stripped out everything other than just the preached word of the scriptures and hymns and had tossed out the Christian calendar for all practical purposes. And they found a great void there. And so they were looking for something that was rich and deep. And rather than going to Christian tradition, they were going to Jewish tradition. And that's also, I would add, why a lot of American Protestants in particular are attracted to Islam. Because whatever you might think about Islam, it's a religion that embraces every aspect of your life. And it demands that you incorporate that into everything that you do. And people know that if any religion is worth believing, it should be a religion that requires 100% commitment. So the fact that they require 100% commitment attracts many people, unfortunately, to the wrong faith. My first encounter with Orthodox worship was when I was in college, and I come from a Nazarene background. Nazarenes are somewhat mild-mannered. James Dobson is a Nazarene, if you are familiar with him. But nevertheless, they come from the evangelical tradition, and I was raised to basically believe that Roman Catholicism was idolatrous, and maybe not quite that they took Catholics when they died down to the basement and shot them into a chute straight to hell, but something pretty close to that. And my understanding of Orthodoxy was that it was just sort of an exotic form of Roman Catholicism, so I had no initial attraction to Orthodoxy. But I took a course because I was studying to be a Nazarene minister, and one of the aspects of this course was that we had to go to three religious services that were different from our own tradition and then write a report. And I had met an Orthodox priest through my involvement with the pro-life movement, and so I went to his church on a Sunday morning. And his church was in a storefront that even the last place that we had was a palace in comparison to. It had the ceiling tiles with the water stains on them and all that kind of stuff. It was very small. It had an old rug that should have been replaced a long time ago. And it wasn't, on the outside, a stunningly beautiful church. So it wasn't like the envoys of St. Vladimir who went to the Hagia Sophia and just by the sheer beauty of the building itself had reason to be impressed. But when I was attending the service, and actually it was a Saturday evening service, not a Sunday morning service, because I remember it was Vespers, and I remember being struck particularly by the Saturday evening Procumenon, "The Lord is King, He is clothed with majesty," and just having such a sense that real worship was taking place. And I, as a Protestant, had a sense that there was something lacking in my worship. I felt like the beliefs that I had were pretty much right, But I knew that there had to be something more spiritually out there than I had encountered, and I was looking for it. And I had a sense there that I found it. It took me a while to overcome all the hang-ups that Protestants have about Orthodox tradition, but nevertheless, that was the reason why I bothered to look into it, was because I was so moved by that worship. Many who grow up in the Orthodox Church have no appreciation, unfortunately, for the great treasure that we have in our tradition. In the epistle reading, it talked about how we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, and unfortunately, many people only see the earthen vessel and don't bother to open the lid and look at the treasure. But the Orthodox tradition is so rich, so deep, and so beautiful that it's a shame for someone to grow up in the church and not to explore it, and to take it for granted and to not really take it even seriously enough to bother to study it. There are many feasts of the church that we celebrate that are incredibly beautiful services. During Holy Week, we do so many beautiful services. And it's a shame very often, I have to say that it's improved in our parish, we have more people who are attending, but it's a shame to see how few people will come to some of these services. Now, I know that there are legitimate reasons why people can't always come to services, particularly when they're held during the week and during people's work hours. And also, I know that many people travel a great distance, and also many people have health issues, so I'm not trying to make any blanket statements here. But nevertheless, many of us can come to these services, and we don't. And we don't because we don't appreciate how beautiful they are. And it does take a little effort. Orthodox worship is not easy, but the word liturgy means service. An Orthodox worship service is a service to God. It's a service that we offer. It's not something that we come to it expecting to get rewards, and that's the reason why we go to it. But nevertheless, when we enter into Orthodox worship, when we come to appreciate how beautiful it is, we do begin to reap some of those rewards, and it's a great joy. Nick Warrensaw is fond of quoting, I believe, one of his former priests, who talks about Pascha, and he says that Pascha, you get on Pascha what you put into it during Great Lent. If you didn't fast, if you didn't come to any of the services to speak of, you didn't go to the Holy Week services, then the Paschal service is just a very late service that's long and makes your feet hurt. But if you've fasted, if you've gone to the services, if you attended Holy Week, and you see the great drama of the Passion of Christ that's played out in the services, and then you finally come to the Paschal service, and you begin to hear Christ is risen, your heart swells with joy because it's such a wonderful thing. And so when I see people who don't avail themselves to it, it's not that I'm mad at anybody. I'm just saddened because I know what they're missing. I know what a joy it is, and it's a shame when we don't avail ourselves to it. If you look at our website, our parish website, you'll notice that I spend quite a bit of time putting services together. Even typing the text of the services, I find a joy. And it's not labor to me. It's a hobby much more than a hobby. But it's something that I take a great deal of pleasure from, because when I'm typing up the services, I have an opportunity to ponder their meaning in a way that I often don't get to do during the services, because very often I'm running hither and thither and doing work, making sure that the next thing that I need to do is done. And so I'm not always able to pay attention to the hymnody during the actual service like I would like to. But the services, the words, and their richness are so beautiful that, to me, it's a great joy. In the Psalms, you hear this joy expressed in very many Psalms. In Psalm 41, it says, as the hart, and that's an older English term, that's not this hart, it's a male deer, as the hart panteth for the fountains of water, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, the mighty, the living. When shall I come and appear before the face of God? My tears have been my bread by day and by night, whilst it is said to me daily, where is thy God? These things have I remembered, and I poured out my soul within me, for I shall go to the place of the wondrous tabernacle, even to the house of God, with a voice of rejoicing and thanksgiving, yea, of the sound of them that keep festival. In Psalm 121, it says, I was glad because of them that said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Often when we are getting ready to go to church, we hear members of our family that are grumbling, oh, we got to go to church. What a joy it is when you really understand what it is that we're coming here to do, and when you really love the person that we're coming here to worship, what a joy it is to come to the house of the Lord. And so it should be a cause of gladness. How beloved are thy dwellings, O Lord. This is Psalm 83. How beloved are thy dwellings, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth and fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh have rejoiced in the living God. For the sparrow hath found herself a house, and the turtle dove a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. And what's referring to there is the psalmist is noting the birds that are making their nest in the precinct of the temple, and he's admiring how fortunate they are and how wise they are to make the temple their home. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. Unto the ages of ages shall they praise thee. For better is one day in thy courts than thousands elsewhere. I have chosen rather to be an outcast in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of sinners. For the Lord loveth mercy and truth. God will give grace and glory. The Lord will not withhold good things from them that walk in innocence. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that hopeth in thee. So many hymns of the church, if you're at the, particularly at vigil services, you'll hear very many hymns that begin with the words, O ye who love the feast of the church, come. And then it goes on from there. Be one of those people who love the feast of the church. Participate in the services. Maybe you could sing in the choir. Maybe you could talk to me or to Torsten about reading or serving in the altar. Or maybe you can just help light the lamps, but try to participate in some way. Or just come to the services and drink it in. Read about them. Try to understand what it is that you're hearing. But love the feast of the church. Because loving the church and its prayer and its worship is one of the very important ways that we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. O Lord, I have loved the beauty of thy house and the place where thy glory dwelleth. Amen.